Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi and welcome, this is Nicola Beer and I'm so happy you're here. Today I'm going to be talking about what to do if you are married to a procrastinator. So in the first episode about procrastination, I talked mainly about what to do if you are a procrastinator. And now I'm going to explore what to do if you are married to a procrastinator, because it can be challenging. And this, let me explain the situation with Jane and Brian and see if you can identify with yourself or your partner in this. Jane and Brian are a married couple that came to see me for couple coaching. Brian is a procrastinator and he has admitted it. And he wants Jane to accept that about him and love him the way that he is. Jane is at her wit's end. She's the kind of person who makes lists and attacks them to get things done. She looks after the house, the finances, children's food and activities, and also works. She's annoyed at Brian because he's tried everything to get out of doing things around the house. And she has tried everything to get her husband to fix the things in the house and do the things that need doing, and yet he hasn't done it. She feels a tremendous amount of pressure on her to keep everything running smoothly and is in desperate need of a break. Yet she doesn't stop for a moment, as without her, she feels nothing would get done. She is sick and tired of reminding Brian about all the things that he should be doing in her eyes. It makes her feel frustrated and that she has to run after him to do everything. And with everything, he always says that he'll do it, or he'll do it tomorrow, or he'll do it after work or on the weekend. And that time never comes. Jen has become so tired of trying to change him and make him aware of how much it's affecting her and their relationship that she started ignoring him and not telling him what she and the kids are up to. Jane begins to lose respect for Brian. Then her mindset shifted. She reached breaking point. As she saw, asking for support from him was completely pointless, so she decided to withdraw and not do things for him anymore at all. She began acting like a single person in many ways, focusing on herself and the children only, not sharing plans she had for her and the children, leaving Brian to do his own dinners and washing. This did not only cause her to feel bad, but it also made her angry, as she hated being petty, but was desperate to get a reaction and change from Brian. After several weeks and months, their relationship had become even more strained. Their communication got worse and was hostile, and there was barely any connection between them at all. Brian felt angry and hurt at the way he was being treated, but he couldn't bring himself round to say anything. He carried on about his day, feeling resentful towards this treatment and hoping that things would get better and sort themselves out by themselves with time. He felt judged, controlled, and not allowed to be himself. He was happy with the distance at first, happy with the peace not being asked to do things all the time. Better than being nagged at, for sure, he thought. He secretly hoped that Jane would snap out of this pattern and things would get back to normal without him changing. Jane, also carrying the resentment, kept thinking more and more that maybe she would be better off with the children living away from Brian. Both continued to feel alone and fed up, until one day Jane had had enough. She wanted to separate. This was a wake-up call for Brian, and we began turning things around. He'd always refused marriage counselling in the past and was presently surprised with the forward-focused action plan I follow to support individuals or couples to save their marriage. So what do you do if you are married to a procrastinator? In some instances, the person who is a procrastinator will continue to justify their behaviour, saying like they're being controlled or they're being dominated when they're asked to do things. And whilst this feeling is something that many men relate to, it can also affect many women as well. And it doesn't just happen in relationships. It can be something a person feels in life in general, feeling controlled, feeling that they don't have a choice, and wanting to have control by not doing things, and doing things when they want to do them and not when they're asked to do them. What one needs to understand is that if you're with someone who is a procrastinator, being hard on them is likely going to have the opposite effect. The more you ask them and tell them to do something and be on their case, the less likely they are to do it in so many circumstances. And the more likely they're going to feel that you're being condescending, that you do not trust them, you do not respect them. And this only makes them feel worse about themselves, especially if the procrastinator is already suffering from low confidence, low self-esteem. It's just going to make things, unfortunately, worse. And while it can be very true that they are not holding their end of the deal, most likely they know that too, but they cannot seem to get past it. So again, one of the things you can try is to make a collective effort to write down all the tasks that need to be done and dividing them up and then not nagging. Simply saying, this is your jobs, you do this, I'll do this, and then letting it go. What can help men a lot or women a lot is to have a list on the fridge. So all they have to do is check the fridge. Have I done this? Have I done the garbage? Have I filled up the cars with petrol? Have I done the service? Have I fixed the gate or whatever it is? Have I done the food shopping? Whatever it is between the couple. And it's not just men by any means. Also, women definitely can be procrastinators. So this list on the fridge applies to both. And this can be really take the joy back into the relationship, because there's not a constant asking, have you done this, have you done that, when are you going to do this, when are you going to do that. It's like on the fridge, don't need to say it, don't need to do it. Sometimes people also like a massive wall chart with like a big planner of things that need to be done and when. And if you're a person that loves that kind of list, organisation, charts, colours, things like that, then enjoy it and do that. Obviously, ask if it's okay with them, and then you're going to have to save yourself some great time not nagging, not wasting your breath, and your communication then can be a lot more positive, fun, interesting, and this is what leads to a great relationship. Another thing that is really important is to also make sure that you are not going too much out of your way to compensate for their procrastination. Sometimes people get very angry about the procrastinator and yet they enable them. They do everything for them, and the procrastinator knows that if I leave this, you're going to do it for me anyway. It's like the same with teenagers and children, I guess. They know that you're going to do it if you're a person that is always doing things for them. And so it's also important to step back and say, okay, I'm going to leave this. I'm not going to get stressed, because your happiness and your stress levels are very important as well. You want to make sure that you're enjoying your life and not feeling annoyed or resentful and carrying it with you. So sometimes the best gift you can do with a procrastinator is to give yourself the gift of stepping back. And not stepping back in the way that Jane did. Jane stepped back in an unloving way, in a I'm going to teach you a lesson way, I'm going to punish you way, I'm going to do this way. And if you can step back but still do it lovingly, if you can step back and say, okay, I focus on what I can control and I let go of all the things that I can't control, you're going to be so much happier. You're going to feel so much freer. And one exercise that I do with women or men that I work with on this is I have them to list, and I time them for 7 minutes, have them list every single thing on their mind. Everything that they're thinking about that's causing them stress, keeping them up at night, plays over more than once. Get them to write it all down. And then I have them go over that list and circle, what can you control in this situation? And then I have them star, what can't you control? And then they transfer all the things that they can't control onto another piece of paper. And I get them to read it out loud to me. I say, look, you can't control this. You can't control the world economy. You can't control whether your husband does this on this day. But you can control yourself. You can control what you focus on. You can control the decisions that you make. You can control what things mean to you. And then we start with the ones that they can control. We say, right, let's focus on this. You can control how you speak to your husband. You can control whether you caretake instead of caring. We want to care instead of caretaking. So these are all the things that you can do to stop this codependent behaviour. Because it can be very codependent to give in all the time and to not set healthy boundaries. And sometimes when I'm working with someone that's dealing with a procrastinator, what we're working on is being more assertive in a loving way. Letting go of resentment, letting go of the things that you cannot control and feeling happier. And accepting and enforcing the boundaries. It's called loving assertiveness. That's what I really like to call it. Another thing that's really important to remember in all of this is not to attack their personality. Not to say that they are flawed, to attack their characteristics. Because this is just going to create more resentment, more anger, more hostility in the relationship. So you mentioned the behaviour. You mentioned, okay, I'm not happy with this. You mentioned how you feel and then what you would like instead. And if you follow this format, you're going to avoid arguing over the same things again and again and again. This is one of the 18 communication principles that I go through in my audio program and in my one-to-one work. And it works really well. So it's you saying, when you do this, I feel, and this is what I would like. This is the most best way to deal with a procrastinator. When you, for example, leave all the holiday planning to me, I feel unloved, overwhelmed, stressed. I would love it if you could plan the next holiday and ask me for support if you need any help. That could be one example. Or when you leave the dishes by the side of the dishwasher and don't pack them into the dishwasher, I feel disappointed, disrespected, hurt. I would really love it if you could just make that effort to put things away in the dishwasher. Something simple. These are the kind of things that they may seem very small, but they can really cause a wedge between a couple. So it's good to express them in this way. And it's far more effective to do things like that than to say, you're lazy, you're selfish, you're boring, whatever it is to the procrastinator. And then it's about this control and this power struggle issue. Some people feel that it's all about you trying to control them, that you don't trust them, you know, you're trying to control them, you're manipulative, and it could be about power. So you want to show them there that you value them, that you need them, that you are wanting to work as a team. And when you approach it from, let's do this as a team, things get done far more easily. In fact, I had one couple that were dealing with this in their marriage, and what they decided to do is literally do everything as a team. And they'd put on the music, and they'd have fun, and they'd do everything together in a certain time, and then things were done. And it really helped the procrastinator, and it really helped the person with the procrastinator, because they felt, yeah, we're getting things done, and it's fun, and it's supportive, and the whole family is getting the chores done, and they made it fun. And then they went out and treated themselves to a lunch after on a weekend. So you can do things about this. You can think about how you can make it different, more fun, more enjoyable for you all. And most importantly, and I know I've already touched on this, but it is really important that you don't keep picking up after them all the time. You've got to decide how you can get that teamwork without having to do everything. Because if you're carrying the stress of doing everything, if you're carrying the resentment of doing everything, if you've stopped asking because they have been a procrastinator, and then you're just doing everything and you're not even asking anymore, this is going to cause a lot of tension in you. And to the point where you might just reach a point where one day where your health is affected or where the relationship gets to a point where you say, that's it. And if it does get to that point, the key thing really to do is to sit them down and lay out the facts. Explain, as I mentioned, how you feel, how it's affecting you, and what you would love instead. If they don't respond to this, then it causes for more action and different steps. And every situation is different, so I obviously can't possibly go into all the different things right here. But the reasons could be that there's this control and power struggle going on in the marriage, a war, and they perhaps are doing it as a revenge against you because they're unhappy about something. So it's their way of having a retaliation or revenge. It can also be to feeling depressed, lack of motivation for life, dealing with a stressful time or stressful event in life that has impacted them in this way. So sometimes people get more into their procrastination ways if they feel rejected, if they feel like a failure, if they feel not listened to. So is it a signal that something else is going on in the marriage, on in the life, other than just procrastination? And looking at that, getting some support if needed to get out of that situation and into a positive, loving, motivated way of being. So my suggestion for that would really be to look after yourself. If you're dealing with this and it's a struggle, look after yourself, look after your health, focus on what you can control. And if you want some structured guidance, then I highly recommend my marriage audio program because it's got 21 audios and workbooks with exercises with all of those audios. And then on top of that, you get 5 meditations. So the 21 audios and workbooks and exercises guide you towards a closer, more connected and happier relationship. It covers how to increase connection, the actions you can take, how to change poor communication, how to let go of negativity and resentment, how to revive intimacy, how to understand the fear-shame dynamic, which causes stress in relationships, where men feel shame, women feel fear. And it's not always the case and it can be swapped, but this is very insightful that I also talk about in the program because it can literally, just the understanding of that, unlock many problems. And there's also things to deal with anger, reducing anger and angry silences, and reducing the damage after an affair, how to heal from an affair, and how to affair-proof a relationship. There's a section on that as well. So if you want more information of that, then check out the link along with this podcast, or do visit my website where you can get more resources and also take advantage of booking a 20-minute session with me if you'd like to discuss how I work with couples one-to-one. From my heart to yours, thank you so much for listening. I'm really looking forward to joining you in the next episode coming very soon. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing love-filled day ahead.